We were pleased to have Mr. St. Flyers of Flight Education with us today, actually calling in from St. Bart's. Good morning.
Good morning from St. Bart's. Good to be with you.
Well, you know, we're in sunny but chilly Florida here. I assume the weather's a bit better down there.
Yeah, we have 85, but it's been raining today, and there's a blustery wind, which is going to make our flight off here in the next hour or so a bit of an adventure. Those of you readers that have flown in and off of St. Bart's know that it has one of the shortest and most inclined runways of any I've seen in the world. And today will be an adventure at the airport.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful island. I love St. Bart's. I've spent a fair amount of time there from time to time.
Yeah, you love it here.
Now, today, we're going to chat with you about two subjects. One is travel education and volunteerism, which a lot of people are not familiar with. So, first of all, can we talk a bit about Blythe Education, if you will?
Sure. We are primarily involved in providing education to teenage children. We do that in 12 or 13 different parts of the world through different parts of the year. And we send kids out to these places with teachers and hire local resources. At the end of it, the kids get actual high school credit or AP credit. And they have a very experiential type of experience while they're there. So it's classrooms without walls, but real instruction and a lot of outdoor education involved. It's growing quickly. It's the field, I suppose, is growing overall about 20% a year, and we're growing faster than that still. We're the largest organization in Canada doing it.
Now, you have a what you call international summer programs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's really what I'm talking about. And for instance, if you have a 15, 16, or 17-year-old,
right,
you could send them on a program into England and Fiji. They'd spend a month doing things like glacier skiing or helicopter skiing in the South Island of New Zealand, diving off the Barrier Reef. And they'd do it with instructors who, while they were doing this stuff, would instruct them and teach them. And
right,
exams, your homework, and at the end of the day, you get something which you can take home with you.
And it's a very specialized and an important area, and one that I was, you know, somewhat aware of. I like you, have been around this industry a long time, and I feel that it's a very important issue. And so you have a number of programs, as I say, to a great number of destinations.
Well, I think the biggest benefit that we provide actually is to give these kids a sense of comfort and adventure. And we've seen them go on. I've been doing this now for 30 years, and we've seen these kids go on and travel in this fashion well into the 30s and 40s and 50s. And one of the educational travel among seniors is an enormous business, as I'm sure you know. And We're beating the future adult educational travelers in what we do, and I love it. And you know, I get such joy out of taking kids into these places and seeing their worlds open up, and they do.
It's very exciting. Now, what kind of curriculum would they get? For example, let's take your Costa Rica program, for example.
Well, we would take kids out of Canadian and U.S. prep schools, and you know, say you're coming out of a school like Andover or St. Paul's or something like that. You'd get a biology curriculum, which would be very similar to what you do at home, but overlaid on top of that really is the Barrier Reef, say, off Cozumel or in Australia. And you do your classrooms underwater. You do actual classes underwater with instructional boards. You'd go and work a sheep farm, write a paper on the ecosystems in South Island, New Zealand.
The kids would say, how cool is that, right?
Yeah, and obviously we say it can be a transforming educational experience. Many kids come back really excited by the whole idea of school and education, what it means. And that, I guess, is the biggest thing that we can give a child and their family.
And why would you say it's important? We know it's important, but why would you say it's important for young people to develop travel skills at a young age?
Well, we like to think of travel as an art which, once learned, should stay with you for the rest of your life. And you know, I've had the pleasure of taking what the oldest woman ever to climb Kilimanjaro. At the time, she was 82. And another part of my career, I took the oldest woman in history to the Antarctic. She's actually blind.
And
she came to the Antarctic just to listen and to listen and learn. She spent her evenings and days on deck listening to penguins and birds.
Amazing.
The educational process should ideally go on throughout our lives, and if you start it well and you get the kids excited and what it can mean for them, then they really will keep at it. And that's really what we're trying to do.
Well, it's interesting because I can't recall the number of times in having conversations. In fact, just recently when I was up in Quebec City, talking to a young gal who at that point was a journalist and a photographer, and she was talking about her youth and all the traveling that she had done in her early teens and even prior to her teens. And, of course, it gave her a tremendous background in what she was doing at that particular time in her life.
Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, my wife and I have five kids, five teenagers, and we have traveled endlessly with them through, every continent on Earth by this point. And we think it's one of the greatest things that we can give our children, a global view of the world, the joy of traveling to it, and the excitement of getting to know people of different backgrounds. And if we leave our children less money, but we leave them with that experience, we think they're better endowed.
Right. And so really it's a combination of academics, and then of course as we know from the industry itself, you put the pieces together for the day trips and the tours and the sorts of things that happen around that environment.
Yeah, that's right. And they're very active programs, highly structured, well looked after, and the kids they come home exhausted but generally fulfilled, and we come home as instructors completely exhausted but thoroughly rewarded.
Now, how about voluntourism? That's a term that is fairly new to me.
Yeah, I mean, it goes out of this as well, and what we found, I mean, we were the ones to initiate this in any way. People like Earthwatch and others have been taking volunteers abroad to do active participatory volunteerism for several decades, but it's grown enormously, both in the numbers and in the scope of what you can do now. So, for instance, last summertime, I took two of my kids, my wife and I took two of our kids, and we went to work in the Missionaries of Charity, which is a Mother Teresa orphanage in northern Ethiopia. And rather than getting up in the morning and going to the hotel and sitting by the pool or going out and doing game watches, we went into the orphanage and we worked with AIDS or HIV-positive babies and children. It was difficult. I mean, it was not an easy experience, but when we'd done it and we were there, I guess, a bit less than 2 weeks, my children said to me that it had been the most important traveling experience of their lives for a couple of reasons. The first was that they really felt like they were doing something worthwhile, that they were giving back to people in need. Secondly, and interestingly, they loved the idea of working beside us, hand in hand with us. And we're both people who spend a lot of time in our offices, and they don't see us working. To come and work with us was, from a family point of view, a very reaffirming thing. And so we take lots of families now to do these types of things. I think done properly, and we do it within a completely not-for-profit foundation. I think it's a tremendous thing that the travel industry can help organize.
I agree. I think it's very important. Children don't realize what we do on a day-to-day basis, I think, and working with their parents, and especially in a different environment such as another country, has to be an amazing experience. I can't. Do you solicit people for volunteerism? I mean, in other words, let's just say I wanted to take one of these trips. Would it not necessarily be as an educator, but the one that kind of escorts them around, or have I got that out of context there?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we hire lots of staff to look after these people. We don't actively go out and try to find either the volunteers or the people that work with them, but they come to us, and they come to us through a sort of network of NGOs and volunteer organizations, And many of these people come back year after year after year. I mean, it's a bit like staying in a hotel like we're in St. Bart's. Basically, we have the same people here all the time. Well, we have the same people come. They may do different projects each year, but they decide that, you know, in principle, they want to give a week of their year or 2 weeks of their year to doing something worthwhile and giving back, primarily in the third world. And that's what this organization really helps facilitate. For instance, we've got a program in Cuba. I know that's a bit controversial for some out there, but today...
Not for us.
Many Americans and certainly Canadians feel that Cuba needs help desperately,
right.
And perhaps even more desperately now with the sanctions that have been reimposed. And
I agree.
We have a lot of American families who are coming with us to help those that have been left behind by these sanctions. I think it's a terribly important thing to do right now because this country is suffering badly, and the more least fortunate are suffering particularly under these sanctions.
Right, and to network with other kids. You know, the majority of the American public are not anti-traveling to Cuba or even anti-Cuba. It's just a small a majority, I would say, if there's such a thing as a small majority, that keep this issue out in the open.
Yeah.
It's very important.
I don't understand the objections to, you know, parts of Fidel Castro's government and some of the things that he's done with regards to civil liberties. I agree with that, actually. And I've had the fortune and misfortune to spend time with Fidel in Cuba and get to know the man. But that's quite a separate issue, actually, than taking care of Cubans and
exactly.
very unfortunate ones.
Right.
And I don't think they should be made to suffer more because of policies of their leader.
Exactly. One doesn't have to agree with their politics, but the people don't, you know. Even in our own countries, how much do we really affect our politics as an individual? Not a lot.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's been very heartening, actually, to see the Americans come forward and say, you know, we respect your government, we like our people, our country,
right.
But we don't necessarily agree with this. And that we are going to do this regardless of how our government feels about it. And I think, you know, in a real democracy, I think we should be able to do that. We should be able to, without hurting anybody or taking advantage of anybody, go and do something which is essentially good, even if our government doesn't necessarily agree with it.
Now, just getting back to volunteerism again, would someone who volunteered, do they pay their own expenses, or is that part of the program that they get to travel for free?
Within what we're doing, we provide the capital that builds infrastructure, and that's done from our organization as a donation. The volunteers will pay their way to go down and work within that organized structure, so they're not expected to contribute towards you know, educational materials or medical supplies or whatever, but they do defray the cost of their own personal travel.
Well, very, very interesting subject, and we appreciate you taking your time out of the beautiful. I hope it's vacation you're there for.
Yeah, no, it's complete vacation. It's St. Bart's. I can't think of anything else. But we're looking forward to coming home. I think the temperature differential between here and Toronto, where I'm going later today, is about 60 degrees. So, we're braced for that, but looking forward to seeing our children.
Well, Mr. Sam Blythe of Blythe Education, we thank you, and one can go to his website and check out our website and check out his website, and we thank you very much for taking the time out of your vacation to chat with us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Bye.
Thanks
now.
A lot. Bye-bye.
Mr. Sam Blythe. We're going to take a break, and don't touch that dial, because I think your Valentine's chocolates were very special, but wait until you hear what our next guest, travel journalist Kay Fernandez, has to say about best chocolate travel.